Welcome to the OKC Community Podcast. We are so glad you're here. To get the latest updates or to watch this week's message, visit our website at okccommunitychurch.com.
Well, first of all, you guys look really good today. You're looking fantastic. I love the fact that we are all wearing the same shirt, so everybody looks good, nice threads, all those good things. And listen, here's the deal. We don't look perfect, but we do look passionate today, and that's what it's about, right? So that's what I'm saying. So thanks for having fun with us today. We know t-shirts is a little bit of a cheesy, fun kind of thing, but we like to have fun around here, and we hope you're having fun with us. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to take the next 25, maybe 30 minutes to talk about four things. Now that we've announced that we are having two services starting August 25th, we have a few things to talk about, right? And so let's talk about this. We got four things. Number one, let's talk about growth in our spiritual family. Number two, let's talk about what to expect with two services. Part three, let's talk about next steps for serve teams, our kids ministry, and you. And part four, our vision. We need to remember who we are. So today is going to feel a little bit like a family meeting. And that's good because really, it's families are the only ones allowed to get away with matching t-shirts, so we're off to a good start today, but sometimes families need to meet, right? We need to sit down, we need to talk through things, and we need to talk about the heart and the whys, the what's, and the hows of this season that we are entering into and that we are in. So as we get going, I am believing that God is going to really encourage some people today. And I mean this because in my prayers this week, and I want to pause and say this because in my prayers this week, I really felt in my spirit that there was going to be some restoration today. There's going to be some renewal today. There's going to be some of us who've been struggling in our hope, and God's going to come and he's going to give you hope today. There's going to be some of us who've been struggling with how we fit into the church. Maybe you've experienced church hurt, and God's going to bring healing today because you're going to hear about spiritual family. You're going to hear about a church that is unified and that has a hope for God to do something great, not only in our lives, but in the city and for his sake. The sake of his kingdom, and that message, that vision alone is gonna touch your heart, and it's gonna bring healing to you. Because here's what I believe about vision. Vision isn't just about the nuts and bolts of what we are doing. Vision is about our life, right? Vision is about what he wants to do in and through us. Are y'all with me today? He's gonna bring some restoration to people's faith today. So even if you're new here, even if you're visiting today and you're like, what did I walk into? I believe you're here on purpose. God knows you're here, and it's not an accident. And I also believe this. I believe that for some of us, there's going to be a shift in us today. There's going to be something that shifts internally for you. You are going to shift from a quiet attender to a passionate participant. I believe that's going to happen. I believe we're going to talk about something today. We're going to talk about passion, by the way. It's why we put it on your shirt, right? How many know, I already said it, but God is not looking for perfect people. He is looking for passionate. It's why passionate devotion is one of our six values as a church. We want to be over-the-top passionate people. Everyone say over-the-top. Over-the-top. Everyone say passionate. Passionate. Look at your neighbor and say, be over-the-top. Look, and listen, there are some things in life that are okay to be extra about. You know what I mean? We can be extra about Jesus. We can be extra about the good things of God. We don't need to be extra about ourselves. We don't need to be extra about our appearance. We don't need to be extra about, you know, grumbling and complaining. We don't need to be extra about those things, but we can be extra. We can be extra about the living God. We can be over the top passionate about the living God. I believe God, I really believe this, is going to shift some things today, moving you from where you are to where he wants you. How many believe, let me just ask you this, how many believe God has a plan for you in your life? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, great. How many believe that you have fully realized that plan? No. So, can we all agree on this? God has more for you. God has more for you. We believe he has a plan, but he's not done yet. So, part one, we're going to talk about growth in our spiritual family. At the beginning of 2024, God put the word growth in my heart in a unique way. And so 6 or 7 months ago, I just went to the basics and I looked up the word growth. And here's what I found as the definition of growth. I'll put it on screen real quickly. Five different things, pretty obvious things, but helpful nonetheless. The process, number one, the process of increasing in physical size. For example, my son is growing taller, right? This church is growing bigger.
Number two, the process of developing or maturing physically, mentally, or spiritually. So this is internal growth, like growing more mature, right? Number three, the process of increasing in amount, value, or importance. So like growing in influence. You guys remember the prayer of Jabez, Lord, that you would increase my territory, right? Okay, or number four, the increase in number and spread of small or microscopic organisms. So, ew, you got a growth. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Ew, growth. Okay. And number five, increase in economic value or activity. Meaning, I pray your bank account grows, right? Let's all agree on that. So there are different types of growth. And at the beginning of this year, like I said, I felt like the Lord put the word growth in my heart and wanted me to think about growth differently, because I've typically taken a very cautious and a very guarded approach to growth, because I've wanted to protect some things. I've wanted to protect health of our church. I've wanted to protect our cultural values. I never wanted to be someone who would grow at all costs. You know what I mean? Like, I always believe that a healthy church will be a growing church, and I still believe that. I still believe, because how many of you guys know that healthy things do grow? So let's cultivate health, right? But perhaps being healthy in this season means that we're going to water some specific things in order to foster the processes of the multiple levels of growth that I just introduced to you. Because how many know there's this truth that we want to be a house where all are welcome. All are welcome. All are welcome in this church, and more importantly, all are welcome in God's kingdom. Jesus wasn't exclusive in his invitation to who was welcome. He said, come and follow me. Anybody who wants to accept his invitation to come follow him is invited in. And if that is the expectation, then there is embedded inside of that invitation that things will grow in order to advance God's kingdom. So let's think about the five levels of growth from the definition. What if we experience five-level growth? Everyone say five-level growth. So the levels of growth from the definition that I gave you is size, maturity, influence, intimacy, and financial. Some of you are like, I need five-level growth in my life, right? But what if our prayers, what if our heart, what if our posture was being intentional around saying, Lord, we believe that you want to bring all types of growth, not just growing a number by multiplying a service, but Lord, that you have something new for us coming. And so, what if God brought five-level growth right here? But why do we even talk about this? We don't talk about this sort of thing very often. So why do we talk about this? Because how many of you guys know that the why behind what we do is really important? How many of you guys believe that the why is important? So why make room for growth? We want to grow because we want to be true to the scriptures, that people matter to God, therefore they matter to us. It says this in Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. How many have been welcomed by Christ in your life? How many of you guys have been welcomed? And as Christ has welcomed you, we welcome others for the glory of God. For the glory of God. To not only welcome him into his kingdom, to welcome into his family. Everyone say family.
Family.
Family, yeah. When I think about church, and I think about church family, many things come to mind, but we all know that church, first of all, is not a building, it's a people. Amen? We also know that church is not an organization, it's an organism. It's a living thing that has organizing particles. We also know that church is not a business, even though lots of things that are in business seem to show up in church, right? Like, okay, we have a vision, a mission, values, we have financial bookkeeping, we do marketing, whatever it is that seem very business-like. We even have a language in the church that's very business-like. So when we're looking for a church, we say things like we would say if we were going to a business and we were trying to find something, we might say, when we're looking for that new church, hey, I'm church shopping, right? I'm church shopping. Hey, I'm not here to like, you know, deconstruct everything that we say that's wrong in the world, but it's not like we're trying to find a new pair of shoes, right? I want to talk about this one thing just really quick, because there's something inside of it that's really important. In our culture, we are conditioned to think through the lens of consumerism. Because at its core, consumerism is driven by the idea that I am willing to pay for something, and in return, I have an expectation. It's a fair exchange model. I'll give you this, you give me that. For example, when we go out to eat, I am not just paying for food, am I? I am paying for an environment. I am paying for a building. I am paying for a waiter to come and to serve me. I am paying for all these things. I'm paying for a menu of choices. When I go to a restaurant, I'm a consumer. Therefore, I have expectations. Now, I've told this story before, but it felt like it fits so perfectly today that I'm going to share it again. A few years ago, my family and I, we went out to eat on Mother's Day. We got to the restaurant, and it was packed, but thankfully we had a reservation because we're smart people. And so we had a reservation, and we waited a little while, and then they took us to our table. And this place was filled to the brim, all right? It was one of those kind of experiences. And we get there, and our table is, like, pushed up against the wall. There's hardly any room to squeeze in for those who are sitting on the wall side. But we sort of understood they're trying to max capacity this restaurant on Mother's Day. Okay, we'll go with it. Well, we were willing to go with it. And then I sit down, and I put my arm on the table. And when I put my arm on the tabletop, like, is broken. And it literally goes down 45 degrees. And so I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work. And I said, because I'm thinking, they put food on this table, the food goes in someone's lap, it's probably in my lap, and, you know, happy Mother's Day to me. And so I get the waiter, and I say, hey, I'm sorry, I was very nice. Just want you to know I'm very nice at restaurants. And I was very nice, and I said, excuse me, I'm so sorry to bother you, but this table is broken, and is there a way we could maybe get a new table, or we could fix it? And he looks at me, like, straight in the eyes, and says, if you have a screwdriver, you can fix it yourself. That sort of took my breath away as a consumer. Now, in the business world, in the customer service world, this statement does not fly, right? No, you don't say this. I am paying for a service and I have expectations. Fair exchange. We decided in that moment it was not worth to give them our money, so we left and went to a more suitable Mother's Day establishment, Whataburger. Come on, it was great. And we had this amazing experience. But let's consider this statement. Go ahead and put this up there. If you have a screwdriver, you can fix it. Let's think about this statement. It has contextual implications, my friends. Because here's the thing. In fact, why don't everybody just look at your neighbor and say, if you have a screwdriver, you can fix it. This statement is not inherently evil, is it? It's not a bad statement. It's not like he said, hey, I hate your hair and your breath smells like dirty socks. He didn't say anything crazy like that. It wasn't mean. But it does not fit. The statement does not work in a restaurant from a waiter to a guest. Consumerism says that's a foul. You are fired. You are out. We going to Whataburger, whatever it is, right? But this statement does work in my home. If my kid says, hey, Dad, the table broke, but if you have a screwdriver, you can fix it. It works. Because here's the deal. When I'm at home, I'm with my family. Because if my table is broken, I'm not expecting some waiter to come and fix my table. Instead, I go get my toolbox, I get my screwdriver out, and I happily fix it. You know why? Because when I'm home, I'm not thinking through the lens of consumerism. Are you all following me? It's actually quite difficult to overcome this mindset in the church. I'm not saying that the church shouldn't create and produce great and effective ministry that we at some level consume and grow from. It's almost like, should we create spiritual food here? Of course, we should eat that food. However, here's the big distinctive difference. We create that food together. We create that food together. We have family meals. We have family parties. We have family projects, and we have family meetings. We don't come here as consumers. We come here looking to experience family. We must become family that understands that when we walk in here together, we are home. And having a whole lot of us willing to get the toolbox out and to grab the screwdriver ourselves to fix the things that are broken, which include people's lives and our own lives that are hurting and struggling, not only that, but to build something together. To build something together that honors God, sets Jesus in his rightful place as the head of this family, and a place that says all are welcome in God's kingdom through Jesus Christ alone. You see, in that picture, yeah, you can clap. In that picture and paradigm, consumerism has no place. So we aren't building a center of religious goods and services and a spiritual buffet of products that you choose from. We aren't building an organization to go and do good works. We aren't building a business aimed at success. We may do all those things, but we are building a family. We are growing a family. So let me ask you, do you believe that God has a plan for this church? Raise your hand if you believe God has a plan for this church. Do you believe God is done and we have fully experienced his plan for this church? No. So what you're saying is God has more. God has more for us. Part two, what to expect with two services. Well, it's obviously a change. So I think come August 25th and the weeks into September and October, I think you can expect two things real quickly. I think you can expect, number one, expect things to change. And number two, expect things to stay the same. You guys like that? It's about as clear as the black coffee I drank this morning. Three cups. All right. What I mean is, sure, there's going to be some things that change that are very practical. When you spread people out, it's going to feel different. The environment will feel different. The hallways won't be as full. This room might not be as full for a season, which will make things feel different. And who knows, you might even choose to sit someplace different. I know that's crazy. But imagine, just for the sake of imagining, imagine people over here sitting over there. And you over here sitting over there. You up here, stay. But the rest of us, imagine how crazy it could be. All those changes are surface level things, because here's the thing. Some things will change. There will be very surface level things that change. But the good news is most of everything is going to stay the same. We are the same people with the same heart, with the same vision for the city, and most importantly, with the same God that we get to come together and worship in the same way. So we should also expect, number three, we should expect five-level growth. That's the prayer, right? That's what I think we should be praying for and expecting, because this is how God has been leading us not only the last few months, but the last few years. Grow us in size, maturity, influence, intimacy, and financially. And then number four, the other thing that we should expect with two services is expect more spirit, salvations, healing, and breakthrough. We should expect multiplication. We aren't just adding a service. I believe we are multiplying ministry. Therefore, our prayer for God to bring renewal to his church, revival to the city, it even grows greater. Since 2018, if you're new with us since that time, we've been praying these four consistent prayers. And every time we have a prayer initiative, every time someone goes into the prayer room, we say, will you join us in these four corporate prayers that we would see more spirit? Lord, we want you to come, Holy Spirit. We want to experience the power of your presence as a church body. More salvations. Lord, we pray for an evangelistic outpouring of your spirit upon men and women and children, that they would come into a relationship with you. More healings. God, we ask you for healing because we believe you are able, that you can. So we ask for all types of miraculous healings, not only physical, but emotional and spiritual healing in Jesus' name. And then more breakthrough. God, we believe you are the God of the breakthrough. Father, you are the way maker when there is no way. We pray breakthrough over addiction and places where there is captivity. We pray that you would break through brokenness and that you would answer our prayers. You are the God of the breakthrough. See, two services isn't just an opportunity to grow in physical size. What if God is multiplying things in the spirit? What if we had a double portion of God? Remember when Elisha asked Elijah, he says, what do you want? And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. God, that's what we want. We want you to double not just things in the physical, but things in the spiritual. Amen? How many believe that anything is possible? Yeah, God can do more. We should expect more. And part three, next steps for serve teams, kids ministry, and you. You. I realize not everyone in here is on a serve team. Not everyone in here serves in kids ministry, although you might be, you should be. By the time this is over, we'll probably all be. Okay? This is not just about serve teams in kids ministry. This is about you. Look at the person next to you and say, this is about you. Serve teams. Here we go. Serve teams. Okay. Currently, we said this a minute ago, but currently we have 250 people serving in our church. About 195 of that number serve on Sunday mornings, which equates to about 40 to 50 people per week, which is amazing and has worked beautifully up to this point. But now we need to move from 40 or 50 per week to 60 to 70 per week to do two services. And this would include, just for clarity, our host team, our hospitality team, our Cap City Coffee, our parking team, our security, our worship, our tech, our live stream, and our kids ministry. So I'm not talking about our non-Sunday related ministries at the moment, although they're very, very important. Now, disclaimer, I'll say this before I get into this. Serving the body on Sunday mornings is not the end-all be-all of what it means to serve God and to serve his church. However, it's an important thing. However, it guards us against consumerism, by the way. And most importantly, it's biblical. It's in the Word. Jesus and his apostles told us to do this. This is what it says in John 13:34. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. Everyone say, one another. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. He's talking to how we love one another. Or how about in Galatians 5:13? It says, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Or we read this verse a couple weeks ago out of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, to serve one another, as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. So this verse is at the center of this run that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where it's like, we need to have a over the top, we need to surprise them with passion, right? So it's not just about loving and serving those in need outside of the church, although that's an important part of who we are as a body, but it's also about one another. It's about, if you're someone, I'll just say this, if you're someone who comes here and you don't serve, is it time for you to start joining the cause of one anothering? God has called us not only to serve one another, not only to love one another, to bear with one another, to forgive one another, to spur one another on in our faith. It's a big part of what it means to be the body. So what do we need to do to get from 40 to 50 people per week serving to 60 to 70? Well, I have a few things. Number one, we need new people, and I don't mean new to this church, people who aren't currently serving. We need new people to start serving. So if you aren't serving on a Sunday team, I'm asking you, will you pick up the screwdriver? If you call this place your home and your family, we actually need you. So start one anothering with us. And by the way, it's a ton of fun. We love it. All right. Number two, we need current serve team members to consider how they will continue to serve. And what I mean by that is many of you have served here for many, many years. And this is a moment of transition where you can consider, what's the best way that I can serve this church? I won't just do what I've always done, but maybe there's more that I can do. Maybe it's a little different. Maybe you could serve not just one time a month, but two times a month. Some of you serve two times a month. You're like, I can serve more. This is something that we want to at least say, hey, maybe this is where you're at, and you can let us know that. This is a great opportunity with things like our kids ministry. Most of our kids ministry serve team, they serve one time a month. Maybe this is the time we go to two times a month, to where you're not, because you can now attend a service and serve a service, which we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I want you to hear something really heartfelt. We never want anyone to feel used or abused through their church commitments. It's something we work hard to create as a cultural dynamic of this body. It's something that we want everyone to feel the culture of joy and appreciation for what we get to do together. So it isn't a call to step up out of obligation. We know that there's a lot of us that find a lot of joy in serving, and this is an opportunity to step into the things that God has gifted you and called you to do, and to know that the Bible and Jesus teaches us that we all need to be a part of this, right? Because if we're a part of the family, then we all have the responsibility to join and to serve the body. So we actually have something we want to give you today. I'm going to have some people help me real quick. If you're helping pass out a card, go ahead and pass that card out right now. You can jump up in the aisle and just start passing them down. You're going to get a card right now with a QR code on it. It's a web link. You can go ahead and go to that. It's a web link. If you don't like QR codes, there's the actual web address on it as well, and you can go old school and type it in. But listen, we want you to go to this link. As they're passing it out, make sure you hear what I'm saying. I don't want to lose you right now. But go to this link and fill out the form. So it's pretty simple. If you already serve, how many of you guys already serve? Raise your hand. If you already serve, we need you to go to this form and still fill it out, to let us know you want to continue doing exactly what you're doing now. We still need to know that, because we need to know which service you might want to serve at. Or if you want to make changes, you can indicate that as well. If you're new to serving, obviously you go to this and fill it out. It has everything on there. The form will really lead you through kind of how to make that first step. None of this is written in stone. Once you fill this form out, we get to talk to you. We get to solidify these things with you through conversation moving forward. All right. So as you get those, let me talk about kids ministry for just a second. Can I just, for a brief moment, share the heart on my sleeve about kids ministry? All of us should care about kids ministry. And I realize we might not all serve in kids, but we do need more of us to serve in kids. And I occasionally hear many people say things like, oh, I'm not a kids person. Mm-mm, kids scare me. What's wrong with you? Why are they scary? Or you say like, ah, I'll let someone else do that. Listen, praise be to God that everyone in your life when you were a child didn't say, I'm not a kids person. You're here because there are kids people in this world. And as a family, we share in the calling to raise up the next generation. And we all have so much to give and so much love in us to share with the next generation. And for many of us, it could be and should be about serving our children. So listen to me. It's not just more women, although we need more women. We need more men. We need more teenagers. We need young people that want to serve children in our church. And when I say that, it's not because we're desperate. We aren't desperate. We're leading you, and we're telling you where the needs are. And we want you to know, like, this is a place that will not just be impactful for kids, but it's impactful for you. Because anytime you slow down, anytime you get on a different level and you serve someone out of humility, even getting silly with a kid that's not your own, it does something in you. It changes you. So we want to grow larger contingency of people who have a passion for kids ministry. And we have two services I think will help us do that a lot. So here's our vision for this. Three ways to serve the kids. And I need to speed up, all right? Number two, two times per month serving in kids ministry. A two-time per month kids ministry leader. This is our most common role we are asking people to serve in. This allows us to add a service much easier, but it also elevates and improves our kids ministry. Consistency with leadership with those kids is incredibly impactful. Would you agree? And so if we could have more leaders consistently serving, this would make a huge, huge difference. And so many of you serve one time a month, and maybe you can serve two times a month, because what's the beauty of two services is you can serve on Sunday and you don't have to miss church anymore. Like, you can serve one service and attend another, and that really applies to our kids' ministry most specifically. And then number two, the second way you can serve is one time per month kids' ministry leader. This is an option for those of you who may be serving in other areas, but you still want to serve in kids. This is a perfect way for you to do, hey, I'm doing multiple things, so I'm still going to serve in kids. And then number three, this is a vision. Every week, kids' ministry teachers, and I'm using the word teachers really specifically. I want to cast a vision to some of you in the room. There are some of you that have a gift and a passion for pouring out, and not only into people, but into kids. And this idea is a deep investment in attending one and serving one every Sunday. And why I say this is, what if we had 5 to 10 people in this church, or maybe more, who were called to be a kids ministry teacher? Because so many of us grew up in this paradigm, didn't we? We had a Sunday school teacher. And what if there was a contingency of us that were taking on that mindset of like, I want to make an investment? Because listen, all it is showing up a little bit more, and all it is pouring yourself out a little bit more, but you still get to, like I say, attend one, serve one, and we would have just not only a better kids ministry, but a better church as a result of it. And so some of you, I think, are going to be compelled for this and feel called to this, and you can communicate these things on the form that we just gave you. So these are the next steps for the serve teams, the kids ministry, and I also obviously mentioned you. This is about you, right? And the reason we're telling you about this 8 weeks ahead of time is because it's going to take some time for us to reorganize everything. But I am asking you, with that card, you don't have to fill it out today, but in the next 2 weeks, we're hoping to get everybody signed up and reorganized, at least all the new ones. So you get 2 weeks to kind of pray on that, think about that, and then go to that form and fill it out. But like I said, this is about you and me and all of us doing this together. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says this: we will grow. Everyone say grow. To become in every respect the mature body. Mature, right? That's one of the five levels of growth. Of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part. Who's each part? It's you and me. Each part does its work. We serve the body in different ways, but each part does its work. Okay, part four, and this is quick. Our vision. We got to remember who we are. Everyone say, remember who we are. Remember. Our vision statement as a church says this. Our vision is to bring life to our city by being the church the best way we know how. Meaning we want to bring life to this city, right? We love our city, and we know that the life this city needs is only found in Jesus. That's who we are. We are a people who believe life is found in God and through Christ alone. Does anybody agree? And we want to be the church the best way we know how. We want to be the church. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to take from the church. We don't want to act like the church. We have to remember that we are the church. The church isn't an organization or a building. It's a people, right? And Jesus set the church in this world to be a group of people who are his people, who follow him, and who say, we're not only going to be the church for our sake and for God's sake, but for the sake of the world. That's who we are. So being the church the best way we know how. And I always have to say this on this one, but we aren't trying to be the best church. There's no such thing. So we aren't trying to be the best. We aren't claiming we are the best. Quite the opposite. We are surrendered to the journey of becoming with God. We believe he has a plan for us and he's not done. And every step of the way, we are going to give him our best. We aren't going to be the people who give the world our best. We want to give God, our creator, the living God, we want to give him our very best. Is anybody with me on that? Come on, give me an amen on that. We have to remember who we are. And out of our vision flow six values. Six values. And our values describe what we care about. We have six values as a church, and they are not the end-all be-all of what it means to follow Jesus, but they are a great starting point. It won't encompass every calling or conviction, but it's a great place to start. And that's why we say around here, we want to live the values, no matter where you're at with your job, at your home, in our church, as you're scattered throughout the throughout the world, may we live these values. And I want to close by reading through these values. And for fun, I asked Nathan Louder to help me do this. Come on up here, Nathan. I know, how many, if you know Nathan, you know that he can read these values with some over-the-top passion for us. So once Nathan finishes reading each one of these values, I think it's appropriate today to just celebrate and to cheer not only the God, the living God who created us, but how he's wired us and how he's positioning us to continue to lean into our future together. And so, you ready to do this, my man?
I got you, bro.
Band, you can go ahead and start coming on out as well. All right, Nathan, let's get you set up here.
Yeah, I ain't got these memorized because you ain't got to memorize them to live them, right? Here we go. Are you guys ready? Yeah. I think it's a good idea to stand. Why not? Value number one, reaching people. Everybody say reaching people. Every life matters to God and to us. We are crazy about reaching people for Christ and seeing God transform lives. Yeah. Value number two, extravagant love. We recklessly love God. We recklessly love God, one another, our neighbors, our city, and the world, because love never fails. Value number three, passionate devotion. We are tired of mediocre versions of faith, so we are over the top passionate about prayer, worship, scripture, and the pursuit of God. Value number four, courageous faith. We are high faith, God can do anything type of people. So we courageously trust God for provision, breakthrough, healing, and miracles. Value number five, spiritual family. We reject an individualized faith and trust in a spiritual family doing life together as a better way to live. We are better together. And lastly, doing things that matter. We know, without a shadow of a doubt, we know that what we do matters. So we live, love, lead, and dream about the things that matter most. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan. All right.
I really thought about this today, and we're about to sing. We're about to sing, and we're going to sing our hearts out. You guys ready to sing your hearts out? We're going to sing to the living God today. That's how we're going to close today. But I thought about this today. I didn't want this to be like a hype day. This is not Hype Sunday. This is Vision Sunday. We aren't renaming the church Hype Community Church today. Just so you know, that's not happening. Because, as I've been saying the last few weeks, we're not looking for hype. We want to be hungry. This is not about hype, it's about hunger. God, not only do we want to be healthy, we want to be hungry for more of you. Because how many of you know, how many believe that God has a plan? How many plan for you and a plan for this church? Raise your hand if you believe God has a plan. And how many believe that that plan is complete? No. God has more. God, we are hungry for you. And we are going to stand on our convictions in Christ alone. So we're going to lift up Jesus. Let's start singing this song. We're going to sing a song today, and we're going to sing it with our whole hearts. We've been going.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If there's anything we can pray with you about, or if you have questions about God, we'd love to talk with you. Please visit our contact page at okccommunitychurch.com.